We are accustomed to thinking of things in like paired opposites. You have night and day, good and bad, light and darkness. Well, one of those pairs are the animate and the inanimate. Animate just means the living. So there are living things, and we know they're living because they breathe and they eat and they reproduce, you know, things like buffaloes and beetles, tarantulas and trees, fauna and flora, all different examples of animate objects, living things. And then, of course, the opposite are the inanimate object, non-living things, don't eat and reproduce and breathe, things like dirt and rocks and air. Now, inanimate things can be interesting. You've got the sun, you've got a mountain, you've got an ocean. They're all inanimate, but they're kind of fascinating. But when we think about animate things, living things, there's one other characteristic that they have. They die. Animate things die. Wallabies and whales all die. Now, the question this raises in my mind is, what about the church? Is the church an animate or an inanimate thing? Is it a living thing or is it like a mountain? Because if the church is an animate thing, then it needs care and feeding. All animate things need that. You know, if it's like a mountain, well, mountains are kind of just there. The sun is kind of just there. You know, we don't think about them as dying. Now, mountains will eventually wear down, and in 5 billion years, the sun will burn out. Was that you saying? The sun will burn out in 5 million years? Oh, 5 billion years. Oh, shoo, I was so worried about that. If the church, then, is animate, we have to decide how it can be cared for, how it can be fed, how it can be nourished. Because quite frankly, if we look around, if you read the news, you see the churches dying. They weren't nourished, they weren't fed, they weren't cared for. So we turn to the gospel today to say, well, what can we do to make our church an animate and animated entity in this world? We have perhaps the perfect gospel to do this in the beginning of St. Mark's gospel. We're going to be reading St. Mark this year. And this is like Jesus laying down the foundation. This is what I'm about. This is the first words we hear out of his mouth in St. Mark's gospel. Time is at hand. Kingdom is coming. Repent and believe. That's the foundation. That's the foundation. Now, the first thing, the very first thing Jesus does, though, with this foundation, is worry about reproduction. First thing he does, goes to others and says, come, follow me. And when he says, come, follow me, he's not saying, come, follow me, and you'll never catch the flu. When he says, come, follow me, he doesn't say, your income will rise 10%. When he says, come follow me, he says, you'll never have any troubles if you do that. What he says is, come follow me and I'll put you to work. I'm going to make you fishers of men. From the very beginning, Jesus was concerned with how do we grow the kingdom of God. And so he lets these people know that we have to invite others, those who are hurting, those who are in any way suffering. Let them know there is such a thing as good news. We have to go after them. We have to bring them in and say, you are meant for more. And so this then is one of the first things we have to do if we're going to have a living church, an animate church. We have to realize that each one of us are called to invite others into this great fellowship that we have. Because if you notice, Jesus didn't say, all right, come follow me, and we'll all stand around the circle, and we'll all sing kumbaya. He said, come after me, and we will have to work together to grow this great gift that we have of the gospel, of the good news. Okay, so that's the first characteristic. The second thing that strikes me, Jesus says we have to believe in the gospel, and for some reason or other, that made me think of Mars. I don't know whether you've been following it. I've been fascinated with that rover that's been going around Mars, and it's been sending out these absolutely astonishing pictures of mountains and hills and valleys, and it's just astonishing to see. But it's all inanimate objects. They haven't found any flowers or any birds or any little green men. And what the scientists are doing then is they're trying to see, are the necessities of life there? Are the things that would sustain life present? Is there enough water? Is there enough air? Are there nutrients that would make life possible? And that rang a bell when we hear about Jesus calling us to believe in the gospel, that if we're going to believe in the gospel, we have to have the right nutrients. We have to have the right elements to make this gospel come alive. And we know what they are. It's reading the Bible. It's saying your prayers, keeping the commandments. So if we're going to nourish this church, if we're going to make this church animate and animate it, something that comes alive, we have to make sure that we are giving it the food and the water that it needs, which is our attending the sacraments, our saying our prayers, our reading the Bible, our doing all those things which enable us to be filled with gospel life. And then the other thing Jesus says here in this foundational statement is repent. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now, we know a lot about repentance. We hear in the Old Testament lesson today, you know, you've got to change your sinful ways. That's repentance. But when we look at the story, the way Jesus tells it, or the way St. Mark tells it today, when Jesus calls Peter, Andrew, James, and John to repent, they weren't so much to change from evil ways, from sinful ways, as they were to look at things differently. They had to repent of the way they ordinarily thought and learn to think the way God thinks, learn to see things the way God sees them. Repentance then really means change. All living things change. The mountain is just there, but living things change. And so we have to realize that we are called to change as well. Change our attitudes, our mindset, change the way that, change from all those other ways of being that we see all around us. So if we are going to repent, if we're going to have an alive church, it's going to mean that we don't think about getting the latest car, but about saying, how can I use my car to bring others to come to Mass? If I'm going to repent, I'm going to have an animated church, an alive church. It's going to mean I'm not worried so much about having my Air Jordans or my Jimmy Choos, but about how can I make sure that the naked are clothed, that there's a care for extended for those who are in need. When we have this living church, a repenting church, we don't imagine how we can get to that new fancy restaurant, but instead how we can feed the hungry. Repenting then is about seeing things the way God sees them. And if you notice, Jesus, in this little sentence that he has, reminds us of something very essential, and that is, we're on the clock. All living things are on the clock. You gotta eat and drink and breathe and reproduce while you have time. Because, as St. Paul says today, time is winding up. Time is winding up. This, Jesus says, is the day of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. So today, we have to become people who respond to the call of Jesus and fish for those hurting souls. Today, we have to become people who recognize how important it is to nourish our souls with all those spiritual fruits. Today, we have to learn to see things as Jesus sees them. Time is winding up. The world as we know is passing away. Today is the day. Amen.